But first, a familiar voice on Late Night Live when her remit was merely Australia, Laura Tingle joins us once again now that her beat is the world. And on such a day, when it seemed for a time that something, perhaps even a treaty, was about to be signed that would have oil flowing once more through the Straits of Hormuz. But then the Defence Minister of Israel spoke. Laura, what did he have to say?
David, he's put out a statement late in the afternoon Australian time, so about 10 hours after the triumphant declarations of a deal, and he said that the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and he were, this is all quotes, leading a clear policy that states that the Israeli Defence Forces will remain in the security zones in Lebanon, Syria and Gaza indefinitely in order to protect the border and Israeli communities from there against jihadist elements. He said the area will be cleared of local residents and all terrorist infrastructure above and below ground, including the houses in the contact villages that served as terrorist outposts, which will be destroyed. He said, this is the main lesson from the events of October 7, which obviously a reference to the attack on Israel over the border from Gaza. He says, seizing the territory and the security zones is one of the IDF's greatest achievements in the war of rebirth under the decisions and direction of the political echelon. That is why we oppose the IDF withdrawal from Lebanon, despite all the existing and future pressures. Prime Minister Netanyahu made this clear to the US President and other senior American officials, and I, meaning the Defence Minister, also made this clear yesterday to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
The war of rebirth.
I've got to say this was a new one on me, but apparently that's been what's going on. But
so that a new Israel is to emerge from all this fighting.
A very new Israel. So my take on this is that this is Israel saying not only up yours on the deal, because as far as Iran is concerned, not only is a ceasefire in Lebanon, but Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon non-negotiable, but they are declaring that they are staying in Gaza and that they are staying in the occupied Golan Heights as well as in Lebanon indefinitely. Now, of course, Israel doesn't have defined borders on its terms. It's never said what its borders are. Well, it's now telling us what they are.
Does this mean that the deal is off with Iran?
Well, we've got to yet see what Iran says, but for that matter, we've also got to see what the US says about this, because we've had the sort of theatre of Donald Trump coming out and saying, well, I stopped Iran responding to this bombing of southern Beirut by Israel on Sunday, our time. So it's made him look like a goose. It's also raised the question of whether he's got any capacity to influence Israel. It highlights the divergence in war aims of the US and Israel. And, of course, there were sort of various social media posts through the course of our day from various senior figures in the Iranian regime saying, we have our finger on the trigger and any further aggressions against either Lebanon or Gaza will be met by attacks on Tel Aviv and, I don't think they said Jerusalem, but, attacks on major population centres in Israel. So this is, if everybody talks their book, we're looking at a return to full-scale war, at least between Israel and Iran, instead of just attacking in Lebanon or attacking the Gulf states. As opposed to, the Americans necessarily getting involved.
The authorities that the United States has over Israel, its capacity to, in inverted commas, persuade Israel to stop these invasions in order that there can be peace in the Straits of Hormuz, that is the United States' huge financial contribution each year to Israel. Yeah. What would happen if the United States finally lost its bloc with Israel?
Well, I think there are two things. The immediate thing is the question of whether it would cut off armaments sales, brackets, subsidised to Israel. I mean, it provides general support and it provides financial support for defence. Now, it's still very hard to imagine the Trump administration, at least, doing this. But you've got to sort of say it's a possibility. And, of course, the other thing is that, you know, Israel has a massive influence in the United States via its lobbying bodies. But that is starting to fall to pieces. We're seeing opinion turning radically, according to opinion polls, against Israel and to a more pro-Palestinian position amongst voters. You've also started to see Democrats and even Republicans in Congress critical of them. So I think the first round effects are that you might see a change to those defence relationships. But in the, you know, the bigger picture really is at some point, does the US actually become part of a global campaign to sanction Israel, not just to sanction individuals in Israel? Now, Benjamin Netanyahu did a really fascinating interview with the American CBS network in the last couple of months. There was an hour, 20-minute version of it up on YouTube, which was fascinating for anybody to watch who's, you know, not really ever seen him in motion. And in part, he was saying there that he was quite relaxed with losing American support or not being dependent on American US defence support because he was expecting to get it from Gulf states. Now, I think one of the aspects of where we've got to since he gave that interview is that while it's all a little bit silent, the sort of pragmatic realities of this seem to be that the Gulf states have basically decided to fork out to stop Israel, to stop Iran bombing them. I mean, there's all this talk about that this deal would involve $24 billion worth of Iranian assets being unfrozen, with half of that to be paid up front. Now, there was some reports about that over the weekend, and the US is saying, no, that's definitely not true. Well, that might not be true, except most of that money is held in places like the UAE. And so, you know, decisions can be taken by individual states who have got to live with Iran and who are going to be much more pragmatic, who will just say, well, we've got to make our own decisions. Now, we don't know that for sure, but the direction is more towards a pragmatic accommodation and trading with between Iran and the Gulf rather than trading with Israel.
Meanwhile, that is a rebuff to the President of the United States delivered by the Prime Minister of Israel and his defence minister. Can you recall as open public rebuff of an American president as this?
By anybody? No, I can't. And particularly if you think about this particular trajectory. I mean, you know, there was that extraordinary New York Times reporting from Maggie Haberman and our very
almost our own
Jonathan Swan, which was all about how Netanyahu had gone into the Situation Room at the White House and sort of laid out this picture along with Mossad about, you know, we can get regime change and we just do this and we just do that, and Donald Trump said, "Sounds good to me." Essentially, going from that position, where for the first time the US actually went into a conflict with Israel as a joint combatant.
And Israel had asked just about every president in the last 20 years to do this, but
correct,
for the first time. And against, wasn't it, against the emphatic advice of Trump's military hierarchy.
I don't know how emphatic it was. I mean, as you say, I wasn't in the room when it happened, David. But I mean, the language. I always get a bit sceptical when all these people suddenly go, "Well, I said it was a bad idea. Well, I thought it was a bad idea, and I sort of said so, but it was basically his decision."
If you could have read my eyes, yes.
So I think everybody's done a bit of covering of backsides on that, but it clearly wasn't emphatic enough that anybody felt that they had to resign or, you know, and even I think the Joint Chief of Staff person, whose name momentarily escapes me, was a bit fudgy on it and was briefing out afterwards. Oh, no, well, it was the president's, it's the commander-in-chief's decision, and we were just presenting scenarios.
Do you think Donald, on one of his sleepless nights, which seemed to be every night, it crosses his mind, he rather regrets going in. What was it? What was it operate? What was the operation called, by the way? Thumping heart or
Fury,
something.
And of course, somebody said that the Israeli version was roaring lion, and somebody was joking about it being sort of a smacked cat or something now. But
now it's Operation Rebirth.
The War of Rebirth. That seems to have been, I'm going to have to Google it afterwards just
to see
where it's
stated. I'm fascinated by these names. Who makes them up? What, you know, who are the staffers that decide Thor's hammer and thumping heart and this?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
This is ABC Radio National, Late Night Live, David Marr talking to, of course, Laura Tingle. Laura, putting aside for a moment this extraordinary spanner that has been thrown into the works, was there much in this supposed treaty yet to be signed, yet to be, for us yet to know the text?
I think the main things that were in it were that both sides agreed that there was a deal, which sort of may have been a little bit premature by the looks of things, and that there was supposed to be this signing agreement. So they've both put themselves under some pressure here. They're still saying that they're going to have a signing agreement unless something's happened in the last 15 seconds to have a deal in Switzerland on Friday, which puts them both under a lot of pressure. Now, one of the interesting things about that, and I won't keep going on about Israel too much, but one of the things was that because Israel was bombing Southern Beirut, Donald Trump intervened with Netanyahu. They were claiming that he'd persuaded Iran not to retaliate.
Yes.
But apparently he did that by guaranteeing the borders of Lebanon. So, you know, this really embarrasses him. But the rest of it, it's one of those, we're basically in this war of spin now, of course. Iran, once again, seems to be better at it. Like, they're leaking out these 14 points, which we haven't had a full confirmation of, but the US isn't going out saying, no, none of that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But the crucial bits are Strait of Hormuz, which is what most people are interested in. And on the Strait of Hormuz, essentially it's Donald Trump saying there won't be any...
No tolls.
What he's not saying is that apparently Iran will still run the strait.
Iran will decide which boats arrive and the manner...
Yes.
In which they come.
Indeed. It will have some sort of management system. So, you know, that's a back down and a compromise. There's talk of a $300 billion reconstruction fund for Iran, which we're not hearing very much about. This $24 billion unfreezing of funds, of sanctions being lifted, you know, which provide this new opportunity to be friendly between the Americans and the Iranians. The interesting thing also is on nuclear policy.
Uranium. Wasn't it all supposed to be about...
It was all supposed to be about uranium.
Regime change in Iran and getting hold of the uranium.
Yep.
Regime and change looks...
That's not happening.
What about the uranium?
Uranium, the Iranians have said, Trump saying, well, it's great because the Iranians have committed to not develop or buy any nuclear weapons, which is fine, except they've been saying that for at least a decade, whether you believe them or not. And there is very little talk about what they've said about enrichment. Now, Donald Trump spoke to the New York Times at some point in the last 24 hours and sort of said, oh, well, you know, there may be some sort of limit on how much enrichment they can do, you know, to what extent. And there's a question about whether they will be stopped from enriching for 15 years or 20 years, but it's all pretty nebulous, I think, at this point. There's also no mention of what happens to the ballistic missile program, which is another key issue for the Israelis. So, you know, it's a pretty bad deal for the United States in terms of the fact that they haven't achieved any of their war aims, and in fact we're probably going backwards given these changing dynamics under the surface in the Gulf and everywhere else.
So to sum up, Laura, it looked like a rotten deal, but that rotten deal may have been torpedoed by the Israelis.
Yes.
So it seems to me, and I defer to your expertise on this, that we're back where we started.
We are. I think we're back to where we started. We'll have to just wait. I mean, this is the wonderful thing about time zones. We had to wait all day till the Israelis woke up to find out what they were going to say, but it was never going to be good. Now we've got to wait for Trump to get out of his cage fighting and, you know, back into his sleepless nights to find out what he thinks, and also to find out what the Iranians are going to do.
Laura, thanks so much for joining us once again on Late Night Live.
I love to be the bearer of such good news, David Marr.
I have been speaking to Laura Tingle, Global Affairs Editor of the ABC.